We have some of the best presenters in the entire world here today. We have people that are going to awe you, amaze you, flabbergast you, make you laugh, make you sing, make you cry, make you make lots of money and be spiritually abundant in every way conceivable. We have authors, speakers, rock stars, beautiful divorcees. We have movie stars. We have everything. If you can't find it here today, you might as well just get an orange robe, shave your head, and start handing out flowers in the L.A. airport. Yeah. But if you would rather actually find out how to create some abundance in your life, this is the time to do it. And the man who was responsible for all of this is going to be your first speaker of the day. And back when we started this magazine in 2006, our first cover was Willie Nelson sitting in the cab of a biodiesel hot rod pickup truck. And then we went from there to Kinky Friedman. Yeah. And then somebody said, you like celebrities on your cover. Did you know that one of the stars of the hit DVD, The Secret, is living in the Austin area? You know, one of the coolest, most articulate, intelligent speakers in the entire film lives in Wimberley. I said, Michael Beckwith lives in Wimberley? And they said, no, the really cool one. Yeah, the really groovy one. And I went out, met him, you know, saw his latest, what looked like a bright red fighter plane with no wings automobile, did a story, did an interview. We hit it off. We've become friends and brothers. So I would, at this time, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Buddha of the Internet, Mr. Fire, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Vitale.
Oh, they're standing already. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. It always worries me when I get a standing ovation before I've said a word. Now I've got to be good. Thank you for coming. Thank you. I met almost all of you last night. There's more people coming. I feel like I'm loud. Is this too loud? No? You're good? Okay. All right. Then I will proceed. I met most of you last night, and more people are coming from all over the world, as Michael pointed out. And Michael, thank you for the introduction. Sorry I'm not Michael Beckwith. I never knew how disappointed he really was. And you've come from all over the world, but one of the things I remember the most last night is a woman who came up to me, shook my hand, and held my hand, and she said, I understand you've been lifting weights. And I said, that's right. And she said, well, I'm a power lifter, and I've been lifting weights for a very long time, and you don't have much of a grip. So I did everything in my power to squeeze, and she just kept smiling. And that's what I remember the most, is that I failed already. I couldn't squeeze her hand. But thank you for coming here. I've arranged for a transformation. I have arranged for you to have an awakening this weekend. I talked to a lot of you who told me that you are here because you believe in me, which is very flattering, but I want you to believe in yourself. I want this to be a turning point for you personally. I want you to believe in yourself. I want you to have a transformation. I want you to have awakening. What I need you to do is promise me you're going to stay in the room. In other words, it's real easy to self-sabotage and leave the room. You can tell yourself, there's something better going on out there. I met somebody interesting. Let me leave. Stay in the room. I have pulled together some of the greatest transformation agents on the planet. Dee Wallace, for example, the famous actress, is here. She was the very first person that I asked to come here and speak. Besides being a great actress and a great person, she is an energy healer. Just being around her is going to transform you. So it's not just what I'm saying, what the other people are saying. It's being in this room. It's an energy field that we're creating to have you awaken to abundance. The other thing I'm going to ask you to do is take notes. You all have a folder, you all have a notebook, pad and paper there. You may have your own means of doing it. But get involved with the information. This way you're going to anchor it in your system. And the third thing I want to ask you to do is to actually make friends. Talk to other people around here. Make relationships that are going to last beyond this weekend, because it's going to help reinforce what you're getting here. Now, a lot of you that came up last night said you've been worried about money. How many are worried about money? Yeah, be honest with me. How many are worried about money? How many of you are worried about money but didn't raise your hand? Fell for it, didn't you? I have a secret that I'm going to tell you that can relieve your money worries forever. And I mean this most literally. I saw you just light up and your jaw drop. I mean this literally. This is a secret that came to me about 15 years ago, and I was already doing better. But when I came across this secret, my life opened up. And if you truly get this secret, this whole weekend is going to be different for you. This whole weekend, and then the rest of your life will be different for you. The secret came to me by email. I still have the printout from when it came. How many of you are on the list from TUT, TUT.com, thinkyouneedthoughts.com, the Mike Dooley thing? Definitely sign up for it. I've got nothing to do with it. I do know of it. I am on the list. I like Mike. I love Mike. TUT.com, www.tut, Think Unique Thoughts. And one day, I got a message from the universe through TUT. And it said, got money worries? A little birdie just came my way and mentioned a deep, soulful desire of yours. No, not that one. She said that you'd be eternally grateful if, once and for all, you never, ever had to worry about money again. Well, I couldn't resist. Wish granted. You never, ever have to worry about money again. I was so moved by that secret, I sent Mike Dooley $1,000. That secret transformed my life. How many of you get it? You never, ever have to worry about money. You never, ever have to worry about money. You never, ever have to worry about money. Your worry does not help. Your worry actually closes down your ability to see your opportunities around you. Your worry actually causes you to go into the scarcity mindset, which absolutely locks out the abundance that's around you. Worry is not helping. I'm not saying don't care about money, don't work on attracting money. I'm saying don't worry about money. Massive difference. And I swear, this is the turning point for me. When I got this message from the universe, wish granted, you never ever have to worry about money again, something in me awakened. And I realized I don't have to worry about it. I can be in the flow. I can plug into abundance. I can allow money to come to me easily and effortlessly. Believe me, that is a million-dollar secret. One of the other secrets that I learned, and this is something from my father. My father told me that when his father came to this country from Italy, you'll be interested in this because he keeps asking me about, do I speak Italian? Do I know where my parents are from? Do I know what this means? No, I live in Texas. I don't know anything about that. But when my grandfather came to this country probably in the 1900s, early 1900s, he only spoke three words of English, but with those three words, he was able to get everything he wants. And those three words are, stick 'em up. What's the matter of you? Yeah. How come you didn't stick 'em up? You know, I was in New York City recently. I've been going out to a lot of events and speaking engagements. And when I was in New York City, it was close to the publisher, Wiley, who's published a lot of my books, like The Attractor Factor and Zero Limits, things like that. So I wanted to go to their offices and meet them for the first time. And what I did was, what I do in every city that I go to, I hired a limo, because I don't drive when I'm in other cities that I don't know. It's too stressful. Feels too good to be in a limo, let somebody else do it. So I get in a limo. The limo takes me to the offices of Wiley Publishers. And these are the publishers who have been around since the 1800s. They published Moby Dick. And they're in a giant building in New Jersey. And I get out of the limo and I tell the limo driver, wait. I don't know how long I'm going to be. Wait. And I went inside, and they made a big fuss out of me being there because I'm now one of their best-selling authors. I have 9 books with them. I have a new book coming out, The Sequel to Zero Limits, today. And you're all going to get a copy of that today. See how abundant you already are? You're already receiving things free. You're already getting things free. So the limo shows up in New York and picks me up at the hotel. Was called the Dream Hotel. How appropriate is this? The Dream Hotel. So I'm at the Dream Hotel. I get picked up in a limo, and I am riding over to see my publisher, one of the largest and best and oldest in the world. And I am almost in tears. And I'm getting chills reliving this right now because I'm thinking back to I was homeless in Dallas in the 70s. Limos, best-selling books, famous author, being in movies, being here. None of that was on the plate. And people would say, when you were homeless, what kind of car did you live in? A car would have been nice. I didn't have a car. I did. And when I was in Houston, I was in poverty for a very long time. Always going for my dream, always trying to make all of this come true, and to live the life of an author. I wanted to be an author. And here I am, whatever, 30 years later, whatever it was, in this limo. And when I go to Wiley and I tell the limo driver, wait, do you know how powerful that is? I wasn't worried about money. I didn't know if I'd be there for 10 minutes or, 10 hours the whole day. It was of no concern. I was treating myself as a prosperous individual. Now, here's a clue. I want you to start treating yourself that way right now. Here's what I want you to do in your head. I want you to imagine you're already independently wealthy. I want you to imagine it. How would you think? How would you feel? How would you talk? What would you do if you were already financially free, debt paid off, and you're walking the talk of living that life that until now you were dreaming about? Because here's the magic that happens. You can do that right now, and you will begin to create it right now. You do not need to have more money in your bank or in your wallet or in your purse to make this mental switch right now. You do not need to have all the bills paid to make your mental switch right now. You do not need to call up a limo and go for a ride in it right now. You need to think like you are already a multimillionaire or whatever it is that you're striving for. Millionaire, multimillionaire, independently wealthy, whatever it is for you. You can do that now, and you don't have to worry about money because the universe told us we no longer have to worry. That's gone. So you release the worries, and you step into abundant thinking. Now, millionaires aren't reckless with their money for the most part, so I'm not advising you to go and just buy everything that you see in sight because you're pretending you're a millionaire, but I am telling you to think like you're already one, and you might see something you want and go, well, you know what? That does look great, and I'd like to have it. Not today, but I'd like to have it. It's on my dream list. Millionaires, multimillionaires would think like that. I want you to think like that. I want you to anchor that. I want you to talk to each other like that. And all these great speakers, like when Mindy Odlin speaks, she's going to be talking to you about changing your thinking, the what-if up thinking. Most of us have what-if down thinking. We're thinking, this isn't going to work for me. What if it goes wrong? What if I spend too much money? What if I really blow it by pretending I'm a millionaire and actually go into debt? That's all what-if down thinking. The what-if up thinking goes in the opposite direction. What if this is the turning point in your life? What if this idea is the single idea that is the turning point, transformational statement that you get out of this entire weekend? And your entire life and everybody around you changes because of it. What if? And Mindy will help you with that when she speaks. I got Bill Phillips coming in. How many know who Bill Phillips is? Body for Life transformation agent. Now he's doing the transformation camps in Denver. He influenced me. He transformed my life 10 years ago. I did 5 back-to-back Body for Life contests 10 years ago. Then lost track of him, lost track of doing that routine. Began again this past February. And yes, I do have massive biceps. Anybody wants to come up and check them out later? $1 a squeeze, I don't know. Yeah, think like an entrepreneur. There's money everywhere. I don't know. But Bill is an agent for transformation too, and he's going to come. He's flying in only to speak to you and then flying out afterwards. All of these people, including my speed speakers, I have a bunch of different TED-like talks going to be coming up here from people who have their own stories. All of this is to inspire you, inform you, transform your mind, and anchor this moment of you already being a millionaire, multi-billionaire, even billionaire. Whatever it is that feels right to you. It could even be your little secret. You don't have to go home and tell all the family and friends you're now a millionaire, multimillionaire. You secretly are. You're the secret millionaire, the secret multimillionaire. But it begins now, and it begins with a decision. And the rest of it is going to be anchored. And the good news is all of you are here early. We told everybody this thing starts at 9. These people in the front row were here, I think, at 8, because I was here early, and you people were coming in early. And there's still some people going to be straggling in. They haven't heard this secret. You're on the inside. They haven't heard that they don't have to worry about money anymore. You got the inside scoop. You know what's going down this weekend, and you're already living it. Is that cool or what? I just got a high five over here. I like that. I like that a lot. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about are some of the common beliefs, because we have different people. I have Adam going. Is Adam here? Adam's going to be talking. Hi, Adam. He's going to be talking. He's one of my miracles coaches. He's going to be talking about beliefs. Here's what I found out. When you change your beliefs, you get a different reality. We live in a belief-driven universe. This is incredibly powerful. When I was homeless and when I was in poverty and people would wonder about that, I wasn't there because I was into drugs or alcohol or something. I was following a dream. I wanted to be an author, and I couldn't make things work out. With intense work, I didn't have a coach back then. We didn't have the internet back then. I didn't have a lot of the things we take for granted back then. I had to do the work on myself to find out what are the beliefs operating in me. And at that time, one of the beliefs was, I admired Ernest Hemingway, Jack London, some of the very dynamic, daring, adventurous authors who had these dramatic lives. They were suicidal. Both of them died by their own hands, alcoholic, miserable. And a part of me thought, if I want to be a great author, I have to be like them. I was creating misery. I was creating misery because I thought it would make a great biography and make me noted as an author. When I realized my beliefs were actually creating that pain in my life, and I thought, wait a minute, there's got to be some authors out there who are happy, healthy, productive, prolific, leading happy lives. And I found them, my life changed. My life changed. Instead of admiring Jack London and Ernest Hemingway's lifestyle, I should have just stayed with their writing style. But these are the things unconsciously we don't pay attention to. And the unconscious is making conclusions all the time, and it's influencing our beliefs. This weekend is about changing your beliefs, and I have people like Adam and others who are going to help you with that. But I wrote down 5 of the most common beliefs, and the big one that I believe is in everybody, at least unconsciously, is the idea that money is the root of all. Yeah. Now think about this. If you're saying you want to attract money, and at the same time, a part of you think money's evil, how good are you going to be at attracting money? You're either not going to attract it, or you're going to allow just enough to get in to pay the bills. Have you ever wondered why you just squeak by? Until now, you only allowed a little bit to come in to pay the bills because you considered it a necessary evil. Well, guess what? Money's not evil. Money, in fact, is neutral. And that quote is from a longer biblical phrase that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Guess what? All the wealthy people that I've managed to talk to, including myself, aren't in love with money. We appreciate money. We're grateful for money. We use money. We're not in love with money. I am rarely motivated by money. I'm motivated by fast cars, rare guitars, and other things that I'm going to call divinity leads me to look at. And we'll be talking about that more over the weekend and when I talk about the advanced Ho'oponopono stuff tomorrow afternoon. But you got to let go of that belief. Money's not evil. Money is actually neutral. We project meaning onto money. I travel all over the world. When I go to Russia, they pour their money into my hand. And I look at it, and it looks like Monopoly money. It looks like play money. That doesn't look real. I don't even know what its value is. I go to Peru, and they put their money in my hand. I go to Italy, and I get their money. I go to Bermuda, I get their money. I go to Poland, I get their money. None of it looks like the money I have agreed is money. The money I agreed to being money is the one I grew up with in this country. So what's money? It's a symbol. It's an agreed-upon means of exchange. It's paper and ink. And as paper and ink, it's pretty much valueless. Unless it's gold and we're talking about something different. But at the same time, money in and of itself is neutral. It's not evil. It's neutral. That's the first thing I wanted to look at. The other one is, I hear the people say there isn't enough. How many feel there isn't enough? There isn't enough money. Few hands. How many really feel it and don't want to put up their hands? Come on now. A lot of you people feel that way. I did a little research, and you may be amazed to know I wrote it down. Just in this country alone, the printing office prints 38 million notes a day. 38 million notes a day. Now, some notes are taken out of circulation over time, but more money is put into circulation. There is an unimaginable amount of wealth floating around available to you. There are no limits. There are no limits that I'm aware of in any way, shape, or form. And I have so many stories about living a limitless life that is unbelievable. As they occur to me, I'll tell them to you. But I want you to realize that there's more than enough for all of us. There's actually trillions of dollars going around. And all you really want is what, a million or two? Would you be okay with that? Yeah, that's okay as a start. Right? That's your seed money. You can build from that. You can invest from that. You know, buy nice things from that. That's on its way to you. Another one that people consider is money's bad. This is close to the money is evil. And what I say is, what about Mother Teresa? Who did a whole lot of wonderful work in the world and gathered money from people and eagerly sought money. When you use money to express your passion, then you're going to feel great about money and you're going to welcome more into your life. One of my favorite quotes is from Walt Disney, because he said, "I want to make money from my movies so I can continue making movies." Do you hear the purity in that? That's not money being bad. That's money being a tool, a servant, for you to express your calling. And expressing your calling is very important. I think I'm doing it by being a writer and a speaker. I think that's what I'm here to do. I'm on earth to inspire people to go for and achieve their dreams. As I do that, money comes in to serve that purpose. When I make money from anything that I'm selling, including my books or audios or events, all of that is in service of my calling. I want to make money from the things I'm creating that inspire people so I can create more things that inspire people. Do you see the integrity in that, the purity of that? That's not money bad. That's money wonderful. Oh, another one that people have is, "I don't deserve it." In my book, Attract Money Now, which if you haven't read it, it's at attractmoneynow.com. And guess what? You all get a copy of the hardcover copy today with a DVD of a presentation I gave. Notice how lucky, fortunate, and abundant you already are just within a few minutes of being here. And there is more coming. There is more coming. And that's all you. That's all you being open. That's all you saying yes. That's all you saying, "I'm ready for a change. I'm going to travel from all points in the world and come on over to Austin, Texas and soak it up." And you're already pulling it in. So one of the beliefs that cause people to block their own good is their idea that they don't deserve it, or they're not good enough, or they're not lovable, or they're not likable, any of those variations. I talk about it in Attract Money Now. And this is something I really had to own too. It's hard to confess to, but during the time that I was homeless and during the time that I was struggling in poverty, I was reading the self-help books. I was living in the public library in Dallas virtually, and literally at times. And I would read all the self-help books, and many of them talked about looking in the mirror and finding the love for that person in the mirror. And I couldn't do it. I'd look in the mirror, and I would be disgusted, unhappy, disappointed, feeling like a failure, feeling like I had this big dream, and a noble dream. I wanted to write things that made a difference in people's lives. What's wrong with that? Why couldn't that manifest? There must be something wrong with me. That was the belief that I concluded. And again, I didn't have a miracles coach. I was doing this by myself, so it was tough work to look in the mirror every day and try to find the point of love. And to be honest with you, I kept thinking, what have people said that they liked about me? And the number one thing that people have always said is they like my dimples. What's funny about that? They say they like my dimples. So I look in the mirror and I go, well, you know, I guess you do have dimples, and I guess they are nice. And I remember I was at a seminar and a woman walked up. I didn't know her at all. And she looked right at me. She says, I just want to sleep in your dimples. And I thought that was a good thing. So I looked in the mirror and I thought, well, the dimples might be a start. And the last time I saw Bill Phillips, I had already been working out, so I had lost weight, put on some muscle and everything, and I walked up to him, and he said, you look really powerful. In fact, your dimples are bigger. And I thought, I wanted to hear biceps. I didn't want to hear dimples. But they must be good. So I look in the mirror, and I start with dimples, and I'm going, that's the opening. That's the opening. You know, but I had to work on loving myself. And what I'm here to tell you is that you're already taking care of yourself. So you must care about yourself. You must like yourself. You must love yourself because you're here. And because you have birth, you deserve all the good things in life. One of the best reasons to be wealthy, who wants to guess that? What's one of the best reasons to be wealthy? Just blurt it out. Books, give it away, have fun. Freedom, help others, express appreciation, all wonderful. The one that I love the most is your ability to help others. Yeah, we want to help ourselves. We definitely want to take care of ourselves. We want our own well-being taken care of, absolutely. What I've learned is when you are strong and when you are secure and when you are financially free, you are able to help other people. When you're not, you don't have the power. You can't easily help other people. I've been able to do things like, you know, the Habitat for Humanity, the organization that builds houses. A while back, they had done this wonderful mailing where they said, we'll put up a website for you, put it up, put your name on it, tell your friends about it, and you can raise some money. And I thought, well, that was a nice thing to do, and I like Habitat for Humanity because they're right there in the streets. They're building houses. And Jimmy Carter was involved, and I met him twice before he was president, way back in the 70s. So it had the seal of approval. And I did this, and I sent a note to my email list. Many of you are probably on it, if not all of you. And I said, I'm donating to this, but instead of me doing all of it, why don't you donate too? And we raised something like $10,000 or $15,000. Which I didn't know, but made me the number one fundraiser. And the Habitat for Humanity, the first thing they did was send me an autographed photo of Jimmy Carter, which is cool. Then they said, I won a trip to New York City to help Jimmy Carter build a house. And it was during the time we were going to be doing this event, so I said, I'll have to pass, just give it to the next person. They were so impressed with my generosity that they said, we put out Habitat for Humanity magazine that goes to 500,000 people, and we'd like to feature you in it. And it was, yeah, that's right. That was, from a marketing standpoint, that was worth more than anything that I could imagine. But note, it wasn't in my mind. Helping others was in my mind. When your focus is you first take care of yourself and now you have the spillover to help others, you are going to make a massive difference in their life and in yours. I call it karmic marketing because the more you give, the more you're going to get coming back to you. I didn't know that would come back. They have done the interview. It's got to show up in January. It's got to go on 500,000 people, and Jimmy Carter and everybody else is going to see that. That is incredible. But I didn't plan on that. Some of you know I wrote The Attractor Factor for my sister. She recently lost her job after 16-some years, and it was devastating for her. Most of the family is struggling. My brother has lost his job as well. I've been able to help them without any sort of loans or strings or you need to do this for me. It's like, you need this, here you go, and just write the check and just give it. I also started an organization called Operation Yes, which is all about ending homelessness. And I'm working with places like Habitat for Humanity and the Move the Mountain organization, which is designed to end poverty. All of this I can do because I've taken care of myself. One of the best reasons for you to be wealthy is that you can take care of the people, the places, the causes you believe in. If you don't care for the Habitat for Humanity or Move the Mountain or any of the things that I've talked about, that is fine. That's my deal. You take care of the ones you are concerned about. Do you hear how powerful it is? It is a massively strong reason that's beyond you for bringing money into your life. It's beyond you, and that's one of the big things to keep in mind. The last tip that I wanted to say, and these are the key beliefs, Adam and other people will be talking about other beliefs, is the idea that you think you have to do something you don't love for money. You have to do something you don't like for money. How many think that? A few of you, yeah. I've taken a lot of jobs. When I was in Houston, I was a cab driver, worst job of my life. I was a laborer for an oil company, and right after I quit, all the people that I was working with, the five or six or seven people, had all gone on a job, and there was an explosion, and every one of them died. I was a tractor-trailer driver, one of those 18-wheelers, you know, with 17 gears in it. I was so totally out of place in all these jobs. But I was doing them as I pursued my dream. I was still writing. I was still doing everything I could to move in the direction of my dream. I believe that when you start following your dream, you follow your life path, you follow your life calling, the universe sends angels to help you. They send angels to help you. Doors open, the phone rings, the right email shows up, all kind of wonderful things take place to make it come true. I think it was Joseph Campbell who said, when you follow your bliss, the divine road through life opens up. Follow your bliss. When people ask me, how did you go from homeless or poverty to homeless to living this lifestyle of the rich and famous, the most often answer I would give is, all I've done is followed my enthusiasms, which is the same as following your passion, following your dream, following your calling, following what excited me. I remember, and this is 15 to 20 years ago, I had read a passage in a book about an advertising man by the name of Bruce Barton. And for some reason, it snagged in me. It was a seed that was in my brain, and I had to find out who it was, Bruce Barton. Nobody was paying me. It was my own curiosity. My inspiration drove me to pursue that. And I went on a six-month quest, even flying to Wisconsin when I was dead broke and going by bus to go to the archives where all of Bruce Barton's materials were stored, doing all of this research, and I ended up writing this book about him called The Seven Lost Secrets of Success. I found a man who believed in me, and he published it, and then another publisher picked that book up. That book has gone through 19 printings. One person worked for a multi-level marketing company in Houston, and he bought 19,500 copies of that book for everybody in his company. Book still in print, audio version still in print. All of that came from me pursuing an inspired idea and not knowing where it was going. I did not know it would lead to even a book, let alone a published book, let alone a popular book, let alone a book that somebody would buy almost 20,000 copies of. This is how it works when you follow your passion. Does anybody know how much time I have? I don't have a schedule in front of me. As much as I want, somebody says. All day, somebody else says. I have what, 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Okay, one thing I wanted to demonstrate is how many of you have heard of the secret mirror? Yeah, a lot of you have heard about it because it's all over the internet. This is something I developed as a personal change technique, and I'm teaching my miracles coaches how to do this. This is a process where I take an individual, I use a mirror, and it's not hypnosis, but there is a trance-like effect where this person can actually visit the future them to get answers to what they need for their current problems. I saw a few eyes went, what? Really big. Are you with me? Do you understand what I just said there? What I am looking for is I need two chairs up here and a volunteer to go through this for just a few minutes. Wow, I saw your hand go up really instantaneously. So I'm not going to pick you. You're too eager. No, I want you to come on up here. Come on up. And I need two chairs. Quickly, please.
I'm Terry. Can you hear me?
Okay. Everybody give a big hand to Terry. Thank you. You don't even know what you're in for, are you?
I have no idea.
Well,
and I'm open and I'm abundant, so.
Well, we have a mirror for you. Can you see yourself in that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, can you move it so you can? What I'd like all of you to do is just to pretend that you're going through this process. I'm going to give a very abbreviated form of it so you can get a sense of it, but this is something you can do on your own. And, of course, I have Miracles coaches and Adam and so forth that can help you with it or talk to you about it. Do you have it where you can see it?
Yep.
Okay. Because we're doing this in public, you don't really have to tell me what your challenge is right now. But pick a challenge that you're going through, a problem, something that you're trying to get a resolution to in current reality, whatever it is right now. And just have that in mind. And again, you don't need to say it. We'll keep that private. And what we're doing here is that you can do the very same thing. I mean, thinking about what is the number one thing going on in your life that you wish was resolved. You want to have that clear, you want to have it clean, you want to have it resolved, you want to have it removed from your life, and life would be so much easier for you. Whatever that is, go ahead and have that in mind. And what I wanted to point out is that science has recently discovered there are 8 billion planets, and I mean this is within the last week, 8 billion planets that have Earth-like atmospheres. There is the possibility of life on 8 billion with a B planets. The closest one is about 11 trillion miles away. So that's a long walk. 11 trillion miles away, so we can visit it mentally. And that's all fact there. Now, what I want you to pretend, though, is that that closest planet has an identical version of you 6 months from now, who has already resolved whatever's on your mind. So again, what we're doing is we're mentally transporting to that other planet, the other Earth. There's a movie called Another Earth, which is worth seeing, that has a little bit of this concept there. So it's like a parallel universe. The big difference is this one's in the future, 6 months out. And Daniel Barrett will be speaking either later or tomorrow about the remembering process, which slightly ties into this, but will help it make more sense. So what you're doing is you're mentally going to this other planet. You see the person, that is you, 6 months in the future. They've resolved what's on your mind now, and you just simply ask, how did you do it? What do you recommend for me? What's your advice? What are the steps? And whatever comes to mind, write it down. Don't judge it. Write it down. It may make more sense later. But whatever comes to mind, write it down. And if it doesn't feel like this is really real, like it's a little trick of the mind, consider it a creativity exercise. And that you're tapping into your unconscious mind, and that database has more answers than what your conscious mind does. So what's what I'm asking you to do? The only difference is that you have a mirror. And so I'd like you to look at your reflection in the mirror, even right now.
Okay.
And just pretend. Go ahead and look at yourself there. Okay. And just pretend that that you is on that other planet 6 months ahead. And to the best of your ability, just relax, breathe into it, and imagine that this version of you can answer the question and give you an answer to resolve what's on your mind now. And just take a few seconds to allow that. I'll shut up for a few seconds. And again, whatever comes to mind, write it down. Write it down. Anchor it. Don't dismiss it. Do you have an answer? Mm-hmm. Do you have answers coming to you? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all I needed you to do. I'd like you to go write them down so that you anchor them right now.
Right.
Okay? Give her a big round of hand or a round of applause.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. We're hugging up here. Thanks for doing that. Now, again, this would be longer and more elaborate if I was doing this one-on-one or Adam or somebody else was doing it. But it's a very simple exercise for you to open a different part of your brain to get answers to the reality. Because the answers right now, they're all already around us, but we block them off because of our belief system. We believe it has to be hard. This is one of my big gifts to you, is that I found the escalator through life, and my duty these days is to point it out to you. I've already gone up the rocky road of the mountain. I know where those rocks are and the bloody trail is, but I found the escalator, and I'm here to tell you how to go up the escalator of life. You can still go up the rocky road if you like, because some people like drama. It's okay to go up the rocky road. I want you to know you have a choice, and there is an escalator. You're on the escalator right now. You all went through long flights, 20-hour flights, 13-hour flights, all these different things to get here, and you are coasting now. You are in this moment. And I think that's another thing worth pointing out, is that this moment is the point of power. The more you can be in this moment, the more your life will transform. I find that when my life has a little bit of a few bumps in the road, it's because I left this moment. When I stay in this moment, everything's fine, including answers to anything I need. How many realize that right now everything's perfect? Right now, everything is perfect. Sure, there's some things you'd like to adjust and twist and tweak in the future moments. They're all going to unfold. This is the game of life. But right now, everything is perfect. You're in the perfect place, having the perfect time, getting the perfect information, having the perfect divine opening, receiving perfect gifts with more to come, receiving divine information with more to come. This moment is perfect. We were in traffic yesterday, and Austin traffic felt worse than LA traffic or New York traffic or any of the places I had been to. And one of the things that I do when I get caught up in traffic is I breathe deep and I start touching the dashboard. I'll touch something nearby because what I'm doing is bringing myself back into the moment. I'm touching something physical to remind myself, right now, everything's good. Yes, I want to be out of traffic and I will be out of traffic, but right now, everything's fine. And the more you do that, you realize moment by moment by moment, everything's fine. Everything's fine. You don't have to worry about money ever again. We already took care of that. We've released some of the key beliefs that is going to open the door to prosperity. And you already realize, right, that you are a millionaire, multimillionaire on the way to billionaire. Right?
Yes?
Yes? I want a really convincing yes.
Yes.
Yes? And you have more gifts coming. Including, how many read Zero Limits? Yeah, Zero Limits has been one of the most life-changing books I have ever had the honor of writing. And I was more a stenographer for it than anything else. I wrote that book in 2 weeks, which is unusual. It takes me months to a year or so to write a book. But that book, it came to me or through me in 2 weeks. It took 7 years, but the follow-up, the sequel, At Zero, is here. And I have copies for everybody, meaning you, today. And a little later, we'll give you all the copies. I'll come back up here and make an announcement about this and other things that we have for you. And tomorrow, I'm going to give a presentation about At Zero. And this is going to reveal the hidden secrets that were never in Zero Limits, were never revealed about Ho'oponopono. And I want to take you to this stage of awakening, which you're already walking toward, and some of you are already in right now because of the nature of what's going on here this morning. I'll do all of that tomorrow. The one thing I want to say before getting off this stage, I have 11, 10, 9, 8 seconds, 7 seconds. there's a clock right there. I want to say that I love you. You people came up to me last night, and besides crushing my hand with the power lifter, you hugged me, you kissed me, you spoke to me, took photos with me, and you are just the most loving, open-hearted, wonderful people that any speaker at any time could ever ask for. I am moved beyond tears. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you. On that note, I'm getting off the stage. I was going to say something else, but I ruined the moment. I love you all. Thank you. Michael, come on back up here. Thank you.